I am jaded by commercialism and advertising, but when I hear words like new and improved, I get a bit skeptical. I buy new products only to discover that the manufacturer merely changed the color of the packaging. Once, I bought a bag of mints advertised as being improved. Now, more mints per bag, it said. Well, there were indeed more mints per bag, but the new and improved mints were only half of their original size. The promise of something new often falls flat on my ears. I imagine that when the prophet Isaiah spoke God's promise of new heavens and a new earth to the people of Israel, they too were a little bit more than skeptical. Two generations had passed since people had returned to Jerusalem from their captivity in Babylon. Their prophets had sung of how God would lead the people from exile as all creation rejoiced. And these prophets shared visions of a glorious new temple set within a sparkling new city. Yet, as Isaiah proclaimed God's plan for the future, Jerusalem was still in shambles. Last week in our lesson from Hebrew scripture, the prophet Haggai badgered his people to finish the temple. This week, we find the temple complete, but it was laughable when compared with the legends of the grandeur of Solomon's temple. The people of Israel longed for their former glory to be restored. God's promise of new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem likely sounded like prophetic spin. God, however, does not toss the word new around like an advertising executive. God does not use the word new lightly. God is not limited by our cynicism or our lack of imagination. When God offers to do something new, God offers to do something that has not been done before. We are looking for restoration when what God has in mind is transformation. Isaiah spoke to people whose imaginations were limited to the restoration of bricks and mortar of their beloved Jerusalem. For these Israelites, Jerusalem and its temple were considered God's dwelling place on earth. If Jerusalem was in chaos and the temple a shabby shadow of its former glory, this was considered evidence that God was not present with God's people. God does dwell in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is far more than a city. Jerusalem is the combination of two Hebrew words, Yeru and Shalom. Roughly translated as a teaching or a sign of peace. Peace is an inadequate understanding of the word shalom. Shalom is deeper, broader, and richer. Shalom is more than the absence of war or other hostilities. Shalom is well-being. Shalom is right relationship with God and creation. Shalom is a dynamic state of divine balance. God's promise to do something new is a promise of cosmic yet intimate proportions. God dwells in places beyond our imaginations, and God is at home in our hearts. In Hebrew scriptures, only God creates. Create is a verb for which God can be the only subject. In the text we just heard read, Isaiah speaks for God saying, "I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth." This can also be, and perhaps more accurately be translated to read, "I am creating new heavens and a new earth." God's creative work has begun, but this action continues infinitely. God has dipped God's finger into a pool, a cosmic pool, and the ripples stir our souls and penetrate dimensions of time and space that we can't even begin to understand. Well, God is the genesis of creation and new things. God invites and yearns for our participation in God's creative activity. God has made this invitation known to us in creation itself, in the calling of Israel to be God's people, in the word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in God's word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Here and now and for all time, God invites all of us as individuals and communities of faith to become God's new Jerusalem. God calls each of us to participate with God and to let our lives become a sign and a teaching of shalom. God does not tell us when God's new heavens and new earth will be fully realized, but we are told that our participation is a part of God's plan. Our participation with God begins when we wonder if there really is a God. We participate when we pray. We participate when we worship. We participate when we reach out to others in God's name, locally and internationally. We participate when we give without wondering what we will receive in return. We participate when we treat all people as children of God. Our participation has a name: stewardship. Stewardship is all the ways we offer our lives back to God, all the ways that we are a sign of shalom. At the parish that sent me to seminary, I knew a woman named Connie. Every church has women and men like Connie. There are a lot of Connies right here at St. John's. Connie was well into her 80s and her health was beginning to fail, but rarely did a day go by that Connie didn't spend some time in worship, reach out to others in God's name, and participate in one of the ministries of the parish. Her life was truly a teaching of shalom. I asked her once about how she became so passionately involved at the church and committed. She told me that the more she got involved with God, the more she saw God at work transforming the world. Connie looked at me with a sly smile and said, "You know, it is addictive. Once you get a glimpse of God doing God's thing, you only want more." God is creating a new heavens and a new earth. We are all invited to participate.